Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, just before the story in the gospel today of the rich man and Lazarus, St. Luke writes, the Pharisees were lovers of money. And Jesus says to them, you justify yourself before men, but God knows your hearts. Yeah. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The story, the rich man and Lazarus, a warning to the Pharisees, and no less to you, a warning to people you love, and for all to hear. I mean, still to this day, we highly esteem the rich. We admire power and fame. Don't we presume if someone has much stuff and wealth that he is, what do you call him? Blessed. But this is a warped view unless you know the heart. I mean, that you not measure God's goodness, his favor, his blessing in things of this world. I mean, think about it. Which of your things in home will not belong to someone else soon, someone you don't know, or in a landfill? I mean, eventually all of it. Even your family keepsake and great-grandma's china, if it's not trashed, will be sold for a few dollars at a thrift store. What will it matter? God, help us to see true treasures, true wealth, what true blessings are. But of course, we don't admire the rich man. You know, his heart is wicked. You know, at first glance, the story of the beggar, Lazarus, and the rich man might seem to be a tale of vindication. You know, the greedy, the proud, the rich get what's coming to them, and all things work out in the end. But it doesn't always happen that way. I mean, nor does poverty and suffering earn favor with God. The difference between Lazarus and the rich man isn't their wallets or their deeds. I mean, how much good works does a poor man do, right? But it's their hearts. And you hear our Lord sum up the lesson, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will be they convinced if someone should rise from the dead. The rich man's problem isn't that he's rich, he lacks faith. No, if they do not hear Moses and the prophet. The rich man didn't hear the word of God. Hear, I mean, it's not the audible sound like we think, but hear means to confess, to live by, to adhere to. I mean, think of children. Children are not hearing their parents if they don't obey what they say. I mean, and you know, you look down at the bottom of that lectern, Romans 10, faith comes by, hearing. Faith, a gift given by hearing Moses, the prophets whom all point to Jesus. And while it seems as though hungry Lazarus has nothing besides the mercy of dogs, in truth, he is rich as the world can scarcely imagine. He has Moses and the prophets. Jesus is warning us all to live intentionally Christian, to hear, to live by. But of course, you know, we don't think ourselves as a rich man. I mean, yet all of you are rich. I know what you're going to tell me. I don't feel rich. I mean, it's quite a perspective that the poorest American has more luxuries than 99.9% of anyone born since Adam. And all of you sitting there, you are among the top 5% of the wealthiest people on the planet. And rich. I mean, your life is filled with more leisure time, more entertainment. I mean, even retirement that would have only been a dream to anyone who ever lived before our modern first world countries. Yes, and beware. Our way of life comes with many pitfalls, temptations, and distractions. So much clutter that it can corrupt, weaken, and destroy faith. I mean, look around. You see this. You know people like this. Jesus is warning. You keep hearing the word. And that is why God calls you to gather in a place to hear his words and receive his treasures, the very wealth of heaven. I mean, unlike anything the world a rich man could ever give or provide. That, as it's mentioned in, as Jesus speaks of how they are clothed and how they feast, but you are clothed and feast here. And so repent of thinking that God has to prove himself, prove his love for you in your life by success and good things, by money and goods. Repent of daydreaming. If only you had more money, you could do so much and do more for your family. And yeah, you would do more for church. We lie to ourselves. With all that the Lord has placed into our hands, we could do so much more with it if only we trust in God more than we trust in our work and the security of our bank accounts provide. A proof of God's love and power is not even found in miracles. No. And it's certainly not in stuff from Amazon or things that fill your life. In any of your achievements, proof of his love is not found even in your good health or with your children or all of your very extraordinary grandchildren or whatever your family may accomplish. Proof of God's love, his power, is found in his word that you hear, his promises for you. Proof of his love is for you to hear Moses and the prophets. Hear the Christ. Receive his eternal gifts, the only treasures worth anything, and that you would never perish. His proof that he does all things, gives all things, works all things to daily care for you, that he could spend eternity with you. Eternal gifts he gives here. Oh, that God, in his abundant grace and wisdom, would make you like the holy beggar, helpless, weak, dependent, trusting in no one but him, satisfied with no food or drink other than the feast that he provides from his table, as he soothes your wounds with healing balm and clothes you with the clothing of his righteousness, that he provides, as we do worship a man and God who rises from the dead. For of such his kingdom, you beggars all, you poor, wounded, sick, dregs, failures, drunks, outcasts, sinners all, receive and bask now and forever in the wealth of his kingdom. In the name of Jesus, amen.